If you turn with me tonight to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 16, Matthew 16. The last Sunday of this month, we will be receiving new members into the church, and we are so grateful for those that are new amongst us, and such a blessing they've been. We'll be receiving new members at the end of this month, and the Lord willing, the Sunday nights prior to that, we'll be ministering about the church and membership in the church. One of those nights we'll be talking about the responsibilities of a member. But tonight I just want to speak in general inspiration about being a part of the church. Being a part of the church of Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 16, if you'll stand tonight, we'll begin reading at the 16th verse. This is in response to Jesus' question, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And there were a lot of answers given, but the correct answer was given by Simon Peter. And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I want to preach tonight a part of His church. A part of His church. Are you glad tonight you're a part of His church? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I pray for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I pray, Lord, You'd open our hearts up to the possibilities of what You have in store for Your church. Lord, help us to feel the rightful gratitude that You allow us to be a part of this wonderful thing, the church. Now help us, O God, to receive from heaven. Lord, if there's any unmet needs here tonight, Lord, that You would meet those needs before we leave. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. There has been times when someone has come to me with an attitude or a problem. I know that is a stretch of your imagination to entertain that thought. But from time to time, there's been someone that has an attitude or problem that's come to me. And to set the scene, they might have been in the church for 5 years or 50 years. But it's always been interesting to me that when they had that attitude of the problem, they begin to speak this way. They begin to refer to the church this way. Those people of that church. I mean, I'm talking about someone that's been attending for years. Those people of that church. They this, they that, they this, they that, they this. And I've stopped them sometimes. I said, why are you separating yourself from the church? It's not they, it's we. Right? It's we. But they separate themselves from the church. And I'll ask them, are you not one of us? Are you not one of the they you're talking about? Are you not a part? And I like to contrast that to what I hear so often in testimony service. Someone will stand and say, I'm so thankful to be a part of this church. Isn't that a wonderful contrast? I'm so thankful to be a part of this church. And I hate to say we need to improve upon that, but we do. It's not I'm so thankful to be a part of this church. It's I'm so thankful to be a part of His church. Oh, can you say amen tonight? Amen. I am thankful for that. A church secretary was in the church office and she received a phone call. And the man on the other end said, is this a church that preaches that the Bible is the Word of God? Yes, sir. Is this a church that believes that Jesus is God in the flesh? Yes, sir. Is this a church that preaches that Jesus is the only way of salvation? Yes, sir. Is this a church that preaches that if you'll hear the gospel of Christ and you'll confess your sins and believe on Him, you'll be saved for eternity? Yes, sir. Well, good. I just want you to know that I'm a member of the Church of Satan, and there's a lot like me, and we're doing everything we can to see the destruction of churches like yours. And I just want you to know that there's more of us than there are of you, and ma'am, we're going to win. And with that, he hung up the phone. Well, I've got news for him. They are not going to win. It's the church of the living God. It's those that believe He came in the flesh. It's those that believe He's the only way of salvation. It's they that are going to win. Can you say amen? Oh, hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. I'm glad to be a part of His church. This little verse I read of Jesus' words tells us a whole lot about the church. He said, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." I want to look first of all just at the word church. That tells us about the people. It tells us about the people that comprise the church. You say, how does that tell us about the people? It tells us about the people because the word church literally means the called out ones. It's a reference to the people that comprise the church. It's the called out ones. I want to tell you tonight, though you know this, I want to refresh us. The church is not the building. For sake of reference, we refer to this building as a church because it's the place where the church meets. But Brother Rose, this building is not the church. The church is those that are sitting on the pews, that were singing in the choir, that were standing and worshiping God. Amen. The church is the people. Amen. In Suffolk, England, there was a wonder. They called it the Tatting Stone Wonder. And it looked like a church, but what it was is the important squire of that village, he wanted to be able to look out his big window and see a church. The only problem was there wasn't a church out his window. And so he hired some carpenters, and they built just the facade of a church so that when he looked out his window there at the countryside, it appeared that there was a church out there. It looked like a church, but it wasn't the real church. I want you to know that everything that looks like the church is not the real church. It's an imitation. It's a substitute. But I want you to know there is a real church, and the real church is people that have been born again, washed in the blood, trusting Christ as their Savior, following the Holy Spirit, believing the Word of God, and headed for heaven. That's the real church. Hallelujah. Amen. As I've already referred to, the very word church means the called out ones. Originally, it had the generic meaning of when you wanted to have a meeting in the town. By whatever signal you called, you gave the call. And at the call, people came out of their homes. They came out of their businesses. They came out of the fields. And they came together for the gathering. Amen. So they were called the called out ones. That was church. They'd been called out. I want you to know we're the church because we're the called out ones. We've been called out of bondage. Hallelujah. I said we've been called out of bondage. We've been called out of darkness. We've been called out of sin. We've been called out of this world. We've been called out of destruction. I'm telling you, we're the church because we are the people who have been called out. How many's glad you've been called out tonight? Hallelujah. The church is the called out ones. We've not only been called out from, we've been called out to. We've been called out to the service of God. We've been called out to be blessed and to be a blessing. We've been called out to be God's people on this earth. And could I tell you, as I often say, we are all together what we can never be singularly apart. Can you say amen? One person is no more the church than one brick is the building. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, glory to God. Amen. We are the people. We are the called out. Then this verse tells us about the possessor of the church. Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church. My church. When I came into the valley and listened to people talking, I'm not being critical, it's just an illustration. But here in our fellowship, I'd hear people talking, and they'd refer to different churches, and they'd say, now that's Setzer's church, or Hearst church, or Collins church. And I knew that was just a point of reference of who pastored which church. But I want to be very clear about it tonight. Union Row Pentecostal Church is not Hearst Church. I'm kind of laughing because one time I sent in a letter to the editor of Christianity Today. And you're supposed to give your name and your church, and I did. And they published that letter. But in it, they made a mistake. They put Hearst Pentecostal Church. Pastor Clifford Hearst. Like I named the church after me. It's not Hearst Church. It's not Setzer's Church or Collins Church. It's Christ's Church. It's His Church. Can you say amen? How do you know that? The Apostle Paul said, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God which He hath purchased with His own blood. Sister Brock, it's His church because He's the one that bought it, and He bought it with His blood. Incidentally, for those that don't believe that Jesus is God, this is a very strong scripture to say elsewise. Look what it says here. To feed the church of God, which He, God, hath purchased with His own blood. Hallelujah. How many believes it's His church tonight? He is in possession of this church. There would be no church were it not for Jesus. And you know, sometimes when there's problems in the church I can't solve, and problems in people's life that I don't know what to say, when there's situations that are to be dealt with, when things aren't going well, when the church needs revival, I remind myself by reminding Jesus. I'll just pray it, Sister Rose. I'll say, Jesus, now let's remember something here. You don't ever talk to Him that way. Let's remember something here, Jesus. This isn't my church. This is Your church. What are You going to do about it? I don't mean no respect. I'm just reminding myself, whatever the situation, it's not my church. It's not the people's church. It's not the board's church. It's His church. He has purchased it with His blood. Hallelujah. He is in possession of it. Glory. Glory to God. We have been bought and we are owned and possessed by Jesus. Hallelujah. What? Know ye not that you're not your own? You've been bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your spirit and your bodies which are His. That changes everybody's perspective. Hallelujah. Then this scripture tells us the purpose of the church. Jesus said, I will build my church. First of all, I want you to know that He does the building. We follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit. But if the church is to be built, He's going to do the building. As pastor, sometimes I fret over people that come and don't stay. Sinners that come and don't respond to the gospel message. And I ask, what more can I do? What more can we do? Now, we're going to do everything we can do, Sister Norvell. But in the end, it's the Lord that builds His church. Programs don't build it. Special events don't build it. Calling in a movie star that professes salvation to give us testimony, that doesn't build it. Ice cream socials don't build it. taking the youth ice skating. Hallelujah. Amen. That doesn't build the church, but Jesus builds the church. Somehow I feel like if we'd exalt him, he'd do some building. Hallelujah. The Lord added daily to the church such as should be saved. That's not that we're not going to do our part. We're going to do our part, but we're remembering that he is the master builder and we're just workers on his crew. Hallelujah. I said he's the master builder and we're just workers on his crew. He builds the church. But how does that speak of the purpose of the church? He said, upon this rock I will build my church. Well, it speaks of the purpose of a church because that is the picture of building a building. You find a rock. Even you don't build on the sand, you find a rock. They didn't have concrete to pour in those days, so they dug down to the rock. Amen. Upon this rock I'll build my church. That speaks of the purpose, because he's speaking of a building, and no one builds a building without building it for a purpose, building it for a reason. And by the way, incidentally, Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church. There are countless millions of people that are taught that that rock is Peter, because when Jesus met Peter, he said, behold, thou art called Cephas, but thou shalt be called Peter, which means a rock. And so they say that Jesus was building the church upon the rock Peter, and Peter was the first bishop, the first pope, and all of that. But there is a subtle thing in Jesus' words. It can be missed in the English, but he said, thou art Peter, and he said Petros, which means a piece of rock. But then he said, upon this rock, Petra, not Petros, but Petra, I will build my church. Petros is a piece of rock, but Petra is a large slab of rock. Amen. Thank God for Peter's testimony. Thank God for what Peter did. But he's just a piece of rock. Amen. If you please, meaning no respect, he's just a pebble. But Jesus is that slab of rock, that massive monument of rock. Upon this rock, not Peter, but the fact that Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, upon who Jesus is, upon the fact that he is the Son of God, we build this church by his building it through us. Can you say amen? But you never build a building without a purpose. When Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church, he was saying, upon this rock I build my temple. The temple's not going to be made of stones. It's going to be made of people. Why do you build a temple? Why do you build a building? Amen. A temple is built to be a place to meet with God. Amen. To build a temple is to have a place where God manifests himself. Amen. Where God speaks. Oh, hallelujah. Have you found it to be true? How does he build it? Amen. I'll tell you how he builds it. He digs the rocks out of the quagmire. He digs the rocks out of the pit. Hallelujah. And he said, if I can just get two or three of the rocks that I dug out of the pit, if I could just get two or three of them together, I'd have enough of a building, I'd have enough of a temple to come down with my presence and manifest myself and meet with those people. They would hear my voice. They would feel, hallelujah. I'm telling you, upon this rock he builds the church. He's brought us all together to be a habitation of the Spirit of God to meet with us. Are you glad he's here tonight? Oh, Brother Keith, we're a part of that. Amen. I was talking about the tabernacle on Wednesday night, and I talked about how they took, made those planks and put them up against one another, stood them upright and put them up against one another and locked them in places with bars along the sides. And I told you Wednesday night, amen, those boards are a type of the believer. Amen. Growing out in the world, a part of that world. But God came and he took the tree and he shaped it into a plank, and he took that plank and set it upright, and he put it in the house of God. He remember, one plank didn't make the room where God's presence dwelt in that holy place. It was putting plank to plank and tying them together that made a room. Amen. There God's presence dwelt. Or as Paul said in Ephesians, he said, you are fitly joined together. Hallelujah. I'm glad you're saved. Amen. But there's something more than just being saved that's coming together with other planks that God has formed, coming together with other believers that God has saved, and by the Holy Spirit being fitly joined and united together. And when we come together in the unity of the Spirit, we become a temple that the Holy Spirit will fill with the presence of God. The purpose is to be the abode of the presence of God. Can you say amen? Oh, shout glory tonight. We're a part of his church. The building, as any building, has a purpose. Christ has a purpose. But it goes beyond the building metaphor. The church is built by God to be his redemptive agency on earth. You say, that's big phrase there. What does it mean that God has brought us together to be the redemptive agency on earth? To be the redemptive agency is to be the vehicle through which God brings salvation to the lost. I'm telling you, that's the purpose of the church, to be the vehicle whereby God can bring salvation to the lost. He chose not to use angels. He's not going to use the government. The church is his vehicle to bring salvation to the lost. That's the purpose of the church. We don't exist so we can have American Idol talent show on the platform. We don't exist just to have a big social gathering, social club. We don't exist so we can try out different flavors of ice cream ever gathering. Amen. The church is a redemptive agency. It's the vehicle that God has chosen to bring salvation to the lost. Can you say amen? The church is to be light. The church is to be salt. The church has a purpose. Hallelujah. More to be said about that another day. I want to be clear though the church is a redemptive agency. People are not saved by the church or saved by being a part of the church. People are saved when the church introduces them to the Savior. And people are a part of the church because they are saved. For some, your salvation is through the church. It's being in right standing with the church. I don't believe that. I believe you're in the church because you're saved and because you're in right standing with Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, glory to God. The great missionary E. Stanley Jones said the early church would have never said, look what this world's coming to. Have you heard that a lot lately? Just look what this world's coming to. E. Stanley Jones said the early church would have never said, look what this world's coming to. The early church would have said, look what is coming to the world, in reference to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's just try that mentality. Instead of looking around at all the problems that we're having and say, look what the world's coming to, let's think what God wants to do through the church and say, look what's coming to the world. Instead of coming to a theater near you, coming to a street near you, someone with an invitation to come to church, someone with the gospel to share, we're going to come to, I'm just telling you, he's got a purpose for the church. Glory to God. It's bigger than you and I. Next of all, this verse tells us about the power of the church. Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. Amen. That typo's mine, not Brother Mike's. The gates of hell shall not prevail. That tells us the power of the church. Listen, I'm not trying to disappoint anyone or come up with a new interpretation, but I think many times this portion here has been misunderstood in an attempt to show that the church is offensive and not just defensive, which I believe the church is offensive. It's been said that the picture here is the church is storming a city with walls whose gates are closed, and that's hell, and the church is going to storm the gates of hell, open them up, and take the devil's turf. I like that. That's great. I believe the church ought to be offensive, but I don't believe that's what Jesus was talking about. You can begin in the Old Testament. You can stop by at different books from Genesis to Ruth and all through, and you find something that was unique to that culture. They didn't have a city hall. They didn't have a government building on the square. What they did to conduct business is they went to the gates of the city. You read it over and over in the Bible. The elders sat in the gates. Amen. They had places there. Kings, you can read it in Chronicles or Kings, where the king would sit at the gates of the city. You had a matter of business. You needed counseling. You needed advice. You needed a plan for a building. Amen. You went to the gates of the city and you inquired of the council of the elders. Amen. The picture is rather this. All of hell has gathered. Satan has gotten every cohort, demonic and man. He's gathered them together and said, let's plan for the demise of the church. Let's come up with a scheme. Let's have a while. Let's destroy the church. What's the best plan for destroying the church of Jesus Christ? And so there's a gathering of demonic spirits. There are a gathering of evil men, all under the leadership of Satan. They put their heads together to scheme to destroy the church. But Jesus said, let them come together. Let them scheme. Let them plan. Let them come up with devices. But it's not going to affect my church, because whatever the scheme, my church will be triumphant. Whatever the snare and the trap, my church will overcome. The gates of hell, the counseling, the maneuverings of hell shall not prevail against the church. Oh, can you say amen tonight? The power of the church. The word prevail, amen, means overpower. Amen. Satan's plans cannot prevail. Amen. That doesn't mean he doesn't seek to prevail. He does. Amen. But we will prevail. The church will prevail. Prevail means to overpower. Whatever his powers might be, the church will overpower them. Hallelujah. I want to tell you tonight, you're in a good place. Hallelujah. Because the church cannot, Brother Keith, the church of the living God cannot be overpowered by all of hell and all the powers of the evil one. I'm telling you, the church is going to be triumphant. Hallelujah. I used to preach when I was young, amen, that some people paint the picture of the end times like when Jesus comes, the church is going to be battered and bruised and beat down and just barely pull its way through the pearly gates. My, its fingernails are crawling in. And I used to preach, I don't believe that's the picture of the church you read in the end. I know there's battles and difficulties, but we're not going to be crawling in all bruised and battered. The church of the living God, Brother Brock, is going to march in triumphant, victorious. Hallelujah. Victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. I know there's battles, but it's a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. It's never been defeated and yet never will be, because nothing can overcome. The gates of hell shall not overpower. That old group, church group in history, the Waldensians, they represented the church as an anvil, and I love this. Of course, we've gotten away from blacksmithing. We don't understand the anvil unless you're in some kind of machine shop. The anvil's a big, heavy piece of metal. They used to even get a piece of railroad tie and use that as an anvil. And the Waldensians, that were a very persecuted group of Christians, they put it this way. They said, God's church is an anvil that has worn out many a hammer. God's church is an anvil that's worn out many a hammer. I'm telling you, the enemy tries to hammer on us. But I'm telling you, the church is going to outlast the hammer and the hammering. Oh, I wish someone would shout, hallelujah. In the church, in the end, the church wins. I love that little story, amen, about that boy's watching that little league baseball game. He looked up at the score, and it was 18-0. 18-0. He said to one of the young men on the losing team, he said, is the score really 18-0? Yes, sir. Aren't you discouraged? 18-0. Oh, I'm not discouraged. We hadn't even been up to bat yet. Satan hadn't seen anything yet. We're on the winning side. Victory is coming. Hallelujah. The gates of hell seek to prevail to stop the church from fulfilling its purpose, which in short is seeing souls saved. But it will not prevail. The church can only be stopped by its refusal to be the church. When we become something else, we can be stopped. But if we'll be the church, we cannot be stopped. Oh, aren't you glad to be a part of His church? A part of His church. Hallelujah. Amen. Would you come, music? In the end, I want to do something. I want to apply this with the thought that membership is coming up. And I like to say, first of all, to become a member of the church is to identify yourself with the local church, which is a local manifestation of His church. You see, the true church of God is not the visible one. It's not the names on the membership rolls or everyone that sits in a pew. The real church of Christ is invisible in that it's in the hearts of men and it's universal. The church of Christ spans this globe. The church is in Alaska. The church is in China and India. And you can name any country. It spans the globe. But though the church is universal and invisible, it is manifested locally. Paul would say to the church that is in Corinth, to the church in Ephesus, Jesus said to the church in Pergamos, to the church. That doesn't mean there's all those different churches. It just means that the one true church, the universal church of Jesus Christ, is manifested on a local basis. That's why it's important to be a member of a local church. You see, the universal church doesn't take up tithe and offerings. You know, I want to be a member of that. The universal church doesn't have a place where it meets for worship. If the universal church is going to meet for worship, it's going to meet on a local business. Amen. No one in the universal church has ever come and laid hands on you. It's folks in the local church that lay hands on you. So I do believe the true church is that invisible universal church, but it is manifested on a local level. And I believe this is the church on Union Road. Hallelujah. I believe this is a manifestation. This is not a club meeting. This is a manifestation of His church. It's a rough illustration, but McDonald's is a corporation. But that corporation would cease to be if it didn't have local presence. And so there's McDonald's in Trotwood, McDonald's in West Carrollton, Inglewood. There's McDonald's in China and Russia. I don't know, there may be one in Antarctica now, the way they build them. But any one of those McDonald's is not the corporation. That's just where it's built a presence. Hallelujah. We are not all the church, but I'm telling you, we are the manifestation of the church at 1101 North Union Road. And to be a member is to acknowledge, I want to be a part of God's local manifestation. And then secondly, church membership is committing myself to the purpose of the church. I can preach that the purpose of His church is to save souls. But it's when a person commits themselves to the local membership that they commit themselves to give to missions so souls can be saved. They commit themselves to be involved in ministries so souls can be saved. It's a commitment of membership on the local level that says, I am committed to the purpose of His church. Amen. And then very briefly and last of all, church membership is opening myself up to the power of the church. The church is going to prevail. And when I commit myself in membership to the local church, I'm committing myself to overcoming with the church, to prevailing with the church. It says, my membership says, when the church overcomes, I have committed myself to be a part of that number. Hallelujah. I want to be a part. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Are you glad to be a part of His church? We've seen in recent days the power of organized protesters. We've seen it in Egypt. We've seen it in our state governments and all of this. But I want to tell you, there's a greater power than people coming together in mass protest. And that's when people come together to serve the Lord Jesus and to honor Him and to follow. That's a greater power. I'm talking about the church. Hallelujah. Oh, it's a powerful thing. In the late 1800s, the old Methodist preacher C.C. McKay was traveled around the country. The Methodists had instigated a new thrust to start a new church every day. And he was on his way to Oregon to open a new church. And he read of a speech just given in the Free Thinker Society by Robert Ingersoll. And you may remember from history, Ingersoll was a renowned atheist and orator. And there he read where Ingersoll, the atheist, was quoted at that meeting as saying this: the church is dying. The church is dying. As soon as C.C. McKay got off the train and found a telegraph office, he cabled this message to Robert Ingersoll. He said, "Dear Bob," maybe you should show him a little more respect, "but dear Bob, in the Methodist Church, we are starting one new congregation a day, and now because of what you said, the church is dying, we are going to propose to make it two churches a day." In 1941, at a church in Chicago, Robert Ingersoll III walked down to an altar and gave his heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. And in 1941, and soon to follow him, his son, Robert Ingersoll IV, followed his father and gave his heart and life to Jesus Christ. Church is a powerful thing. Aren't you glad to be a part of His church? Oh Lord, I want to be in that number when the saints go marching in. You know how you can be in that number? Be in it right now. And then you'll be in it when the saints go marching in. Would you stand? Let's thank Him tonight. If you're glad to be a part of the church, let's praise Him across the building. Oh, hallelujah. It's a glorious church without spot or wrinkle, washed in the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. I'm going to pause just for a moment. You're here tonight and you would truthfully say, honestly say, "I'm really not a member of the church." I'm not talking about local membership. I'm talking about being born again and having the Holy Spirit put you, plant you in the church of Christ. If you would honestly say, "I'm really not a part of the church," I'd ask you right now if you'd come to this altar and say, "Oh Lord, save me, change my life, wash me with the blood. I believe, Lord, I want to be a part of the church." Are you here tonight? Not yet a part, but you'd like to be a part. Are you here? You'd like to come? Anyone in the building? Oh, hallelujah. All right, if you're here tonight and you're glad to be a part of His church and you want to be a part of fulfilling the purpose of the church, seeing souls saved, I want to invite you to come. If you're glad to be a part of His church and you want to play a part, amen, would you come and fill these altars? Hallelujah. Would you come ahead? It's a glorious church. Oh, we're part of His church. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Oh, blessed be Your name. Blessed be Your name. Blessed be Your name. Oh, yes, Lord, I want to be a part. I want to be a part. I want to have a part. I want to fulfill a part. Come on, church. He's got something for us to do. Glory to God. Let's be a part of that church.